Oral questions by members.
Leader of the official opposition.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, yesterday, British Columbians heard the former finance minister confirm that there is systemic anti-Semitism in this NDP government and caucus. Her words were clear, and I quote, "Anti-Semitism is the double standard that we have consistently shown," end of quote. The former finance minister provided multiple examples of anti-Semitism within the NDP cabinet, caucus, and the NDP party. Now, we've seen in the past when there were accusations of systemic racism against Indigenous people in the healthcare system that this government immediately ordered a full independent inquiry. Given that these are very serious accusations of systemic anti-Semitism in the NDP cabinet and caucus by a former finance minister, will the Premier today commit to calling a full and independent inquiry into these very serious allegations?
Premier.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. It's a sad day for our caucus. The member for Coquitlam-Millardville, such a critical voice in our caucus. Her unique experiences as a Jewish woman in politics, the fact that she had relatives in Israel, called up to serve in war, that through her connections, through family and friends, she knew people had been killed, kidnapped. It brought to our team a vital voice representing a key community in our province that's feeling under threat right now. We're feeling under attack. And the key for me as a leader is to ask myself, you know, what could we have done to make sure that her voice stayed in our caucus? I had a meeting with Selena just a few hours before she resigned with the member for Coquitlam-Millardville, my apologies. Just a few hours before she left our caucus, and she didn't raise these issues with me. She didn't feel safe to do that. And so for me, it's a chance to think about, why is that the case? How do I make sure that my caucus colleagues feel safe? Now, it doesn't take away, I disagree with some of her characterizations of what happened, and I think we could have worked through them had we had the opportunity. And I'm going to take that opportunity, Honorable Speaker, and I'm going to continue the work that I'm doing, that our government's doing to fight hate, to fight anti-Semitism in our province. I'm meeting with Rabbinical Council tomorrow, a leadership from CEJA, the Federation, to make sure that we're supporting the Jewish community going forward and fighting anti-Semitism, something this House has been united on, remains united on, and is in the heart of every single member of our caucus.
Leader of the Official Opposition, supplemental.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, the problem is that the member from Coquitlam-Millardville made it very clear that the ongoing empty words are never enough. It actually requires action from this Premier. And frankly, British Columbians are more likely to believe a Premier who stands on principle as opposed to a Premier who is effectively just trying to do damage control. The former finance minister says, and I quote, almost 300 Jewish physicians signed a letter calling on UBC Medical School to address anti-Semitism on campus. Ted Rosenberg, a prominent physician, quit, citing a toxic work environment and anti-Semitism. I heard nothing from any of you, not the Minister of Health, not the Premier, no one. End of quote. What the longtime senior member and former finance minister of this NDP government has confirmed is that there is systemic anti-Semitism that requires more than just the empty words that we just heard from this Premier. So again, to the Premier, not empty words, but will the Premier launch an independent investigation to root out the systemic anti-Semitism that has been confirmed to exist in his government and his caucus? Will he do that?
Premier.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. I agree with the member that actions are needed to support the Jewish community. And we've taken those early actions. We're ensuring mandatory Holocaust education for all British Columbia kids at school. The BC Prosecution Service has a new hate crimes protocol. But this is just the start of the work we need to do. That's why I'm meeting with the community to identify further steps that we can take. The member rightly raises with concern the issue of UBC's medical school. The member for Coquitlam-Millardville was the minister responsible for post-secondary and future skills at the time. She reached out to UBC, to the president's office, expressed the concern that everybody, I think in this house, but certainly in our caucus, felt about those allegations being brought forward from a prominent instructor at the medical school, the anti-Semitism that he felt. She received commitments from UBC about what they were going to do. I'm happy to bring back to this house an update on where they're at on that work. Action is absolutely needed to ensure that the community feels safe, and that's the commitment of everybody on this side of this house, and I believe everybody in this house.
Leader of the Official Opposition, second supplemental.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, but let's be really clear here. We are talking about an individual who up until 24 hours ago was a member of this government and was a former senior cabinet minister as part of this government for the entire term that they've been in power. And the systemic anti-Semitism that she discusses exists within this NDP cabinet and caucus, and sadly appears to have spread. That culture of anti-Semitism appears to have spread indeed into the public service. One whistleblower says, and I quote, "I was asked not to wear my Star of David necklace in a visible way in my team meetings because it is a symbol of genocide. It is not. It is a sign of my identity. My manager is the one who told me this, so there is no point complaining. I need to find work outside of the public service." End of quote. That, Premier, is systemic anti-Semitism. And so my question to the Premier was a very straightforward and simple one. I'm not looking for words. I'm not looking for meetings that you're about to have. I am asking you very succinctly. You did the right thing when you found out that there was systemic discrimination against Indigenous peoples in the healthcare system. You ordered a full independent inquiry. We now have numerous examples of anti-Semitism within your own cabinet and caucus and party. Will you do the right thing? Call for an independent inquiry today and give the public the confidence that you actually are doing something to ensure that you root out this systemic anti-Semitism in your own government.
All questions through the chair, please. Premier.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. I'm profoundly concerned about the set of facts the member has brought forward. I encourage him to encourage this person to bring forward their complaint. That's not systemic anti-Semitism. That's anti-Semitism, full stop. And it is not acceptable in the public service. It is not acceptable in government. And we have to fight hate every day. There are two communities that are hurting very badly in our province right now. The Jewish community is frightened. We're seeing a rise in anti-Semitism broadly. They need an ally in government to support them with these things. That's the commitment that every member of our caucus makes to that community, and that is the work that we're going to continue to do with them. The Muslim community is seeing rising Islamophobia. We have a number of members of the public service, the Muslim faith, that feel angst, concern, fear about discrimination and racism as well. We've got to support those members of the public service too. As a province, our strength is in working together. As a province, our strength is in being an anti-racist province that fights discrimination every day so that everybody is welcome here. That commitment remains. It is a priority for every member of my caucus, and I am sure for every member of the other party's caucus as well. British Columbians expect that from us, and we will deliver for them.
Member for Vancouver Langara.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I really would urge the Premier to take a step back and reflect on his answers to the Leader of Official Opposition, just like he reflected this morning on his statement that he put out to blame the member from Coquitlam-Millardville and say it's her issue, her mistake. She was the single ally for the Jewish community in the fight against anti-Semitism in this government, in this Executive Council. Clearly, She was left to feel very alone in this caucus. And she's departed, and she's spoken very clearly in her letter. The former finance minister has said very clearly, quote, "As a government, we have not been standing up to anti-Semitism," end quote. The Premier needs to reflect on that, and I know he knows. As we've raised in question period in April of 2023, as I raised in estimates with the Attorney General here, the Premier, when he was Attorney General, gave a specific direction to refuse to adopt into law the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance definition of anti-Semitism. There is no specific action that the Attorney General could point to in my questioning of her before the former finance minister's announcement of her departure from this government caucus. There's no specific action that's been taken to implement the IRA definition in this province. The systemic anti-Semitism that we're talking about is pervasive. Clearly, in the way that the former finance minister describes in her letter, it sets it out very clearly. Her concerns with individual members of this government caucus.
Question, member.
And it starts from the top. This premier cannot continue to shirk his responsibility. The former finance minister reveals that public service officials have made anti-Semitic statements at the beginning of meetings, resulting in discomfort and fear, and that there has been no acknowledgement and no action in response to these concerns being raised.
Member has a question.
Will the Premier immediately reflect on where his government and his caucus is right now and call for an independent investigation into the systemic racism that pervades through his caucus and his government?
Premier.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I worry that maybe I wasn't clear enough. I was really heartbroken to lose the member for Coquitlam-Millardville as a caucus member. I sat down with her just hours before she issued this letter, specifically because I knew she was hurting. And it was incredibly hard for her to give up her cabinet position, to have to do the meetings and the work with the community. I know that was so hard for her. And obviously, I didn't create the space where she was able to bring these concerns forward to me. That's not her fault. That's my responsibility to create that space for her to bring that forward. And so I'll reflect on what I need to do to make sure that that happens. And I'll make sure that what I know is the shared commitment of everybody in this place to fight anti-Semitism, that that work continues from our early actions around mandatory Holocaust education, around the prosecution service direction about their policy, and to build on that and to take direction and work in partnership with the community, starting with the long scheduled meeting I've had with the rabbis tomorrow, as well as with leading Jewish advocacy groups. The community is hurting. They need their support. Selene is a key, the member for Coquitlam-Millardville is a key part of that community. She needs our support. Even if I disagree with the characterization of some of the things that she said, she deserved the opportunity to address those issues in our caucus, and I needed to create that space for her.
Vancouver Langara, supplemental.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And this is a very important discussion because that space clearly was not created. She had to take the step to resign from this caucus to speak independently. There is no space. She was being so much mistreated and shunned by this leader and her caucus members. Silence is not the solution here. This is a failure completely in the Premier's leadership of his government in this caucus. This is the reason why he needs to take a step back. He needs to reflect on the fact that there is a need for an independent investigation. If he wants to restore any semblance of trust and confidence in his government, he needs to do so. As the opposition, we've heard from whistleblowers stating that the Public Service Agency has authorized and sanctioned Zoom backgrounds Zoom backgrounds containing the phrase, from the river to the sea. As we all know, this reference, as we all ought to know, this reference is an explicit call to wipe Israel off the map and murder all Jews by driving them into the sea. It is blatantly anti-Semitic, and yet it was sanctioned by this government and this premier. This is exactly the sort of anti-Semitism that the IRA definition is meant to prevent. So again, through you, Mr. Speaker, I call on the premier to confirm that he will now adopt the IRA definition into law and take immediate action to implement that definition. And secondly, that he will call for an investigation into the systemic racism in his government and caucus.
Attorney General.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just want to start by adding to the Premier's comments earlier about how saddened we all are that the MLA for Coquitlam-Millardville made the decision yesterday to resign. I think we all hear the pain and the hurt in her voice as a Jewish woman, although we may disagree with the characterization of some of the things that she said. I have deep respect for her. The member opposite raises important points about how we all have to stand strong against anti-Semitism in this province. We all need to. I hear the pain in her voice. I hear the pain in the Jewish community's voice. I hear the pain in the Muslim community's voice about the rise of hate that they're experiencing. And we need to remember that we are in this together as British Columbians. We're in this together to fight hate. I am committed every day, along with this government, to do everything we can to fight hate in this province and the rise of anti-Semitism. We went at length yesterday with the member opposite of the steps that we are taking already to root systemic discrimination out of our government systems. It's something that I am deeply committed to and will continue to do the work every day.
House Leader of the Third Party.
Mr. Speaker, there's very serious questions about leadership being asked here today, and I think that it's important that we continue to question this government's lack of leadership when it comes to climate action, specifically when it comes to the doublespeak around LNG and LNG proposals claiming net zero. This government likes to pretend. We know that by powering LNG with electricity, they're not going to create a better, safer world. But BC Hydro is already cutting corners when it comes to the transmission lines that are going to deliver the electricity to the promised LNG projects. According to confidential documents by government obtained by the Narwhal, BC Hydro plans to replace the necessary environmental assessment for the North Coast transmission line with a, quote, streamlined process. Tara Marsden, spokesperson for the Gitanyahu Hereditary Chief, said, "A streamlined process is quite scary, especially if it lacks transparency, takes shortcuts, and doesn't allow voices to be heard." My question is to the Ministry of Energy, Mines and Low Carbon Disinformation. What does the BC Hydro's alternative streamlined process entail, and will the public have access to the process and the complete findings?
Minister of Environment.
Thank you very much, Honourable Speaker. First of all, I want to point out to the member, I thank the member for the question, the number of steps that our government has taken to address the question of emissions from LNG facilities, which includes a variety of measures that have been put in place through output-based pricing system, carbon taxes, through the Clean BC program for industry, and working actively on bringing forward the regulatory cap on emissions from the oil and gas sector, which we committed to as part of the New Energy Action Framework. The member is referring to an internal memo of BC Hydro in which they were considering whether to make application to the government for an exemption under the Environmental Assessment Act from an environmental assessment process. They have not made that application. If they make that application, there is a process to consider it before it finally comes for decision making. During that process, it will be transparent that they have made the application. The basis of the application will be made transparent should they make an application, which they have not done. and the public will have the opportunity to review that fully and to make comment.
House Leader, third party supplemental.
Mr. Speaker, I remember, and maybe I can remind the minister, of when the minister and his colleague, the Minister of Energy and Mines, were climate champions and not LNG propagandists. You see, in my own territory, I've witnessed where the minister has not done an environmental assessment and instead created a process that doesn't exist called an enhanced review process that doesn't have any meat or anything. There's no idea what that enhanced process looks like. So now we've got BC Hydro proposing a streamlined process. Pardon us for not having the confidence in this minister that we're going to follow the laws that actually exist in this province and require environmental assessments. BC Hydro worries that a delay from an environmental assessment will impact the ability to meet increased demand for electrification, and that increased demand is coming from the LNG projects that this government supports. BC Hydro hasn't been able to build an $8 billion dam for less than $20 billion in Site C. Now they want to trample the public, Indigenous rights, and the environment again, Mr. Speaker. The proposed transmission line will affect property owners, farmland, waterways, at-risk species, all impediments to this fossil fuel industry. What is it about premiers from Point Grey and their obsession with LNG, Mr. Speaker? To the Minister of Energy, will the minister succumb again to the pressure of the fossil fuel lobby or demand an environmental assessment as is the proper and lawful process in this province?
Minister.
Thank you very much, Honourable Speaker. And it's unfortunate that when we're dealing with questions of addressing permitted projects as well as addressing the very serious climate targets and objectives this government has, that the member of the third party resorts to rhetoric that is both inflammatory and inaccurate. There is no proposal from BC Hydro to me, to the Environmental Assessment Office, or to our government for an exemption. Should that proposal come forward, it will be required to be considered under the Act. It will be considered transparently. We take environmental assessment seriously. When I receive applications such as the one the member referred to, which was to grant an environmental assessment when the project did not meet the tests laid out in the Act, it received full consideration, transparent consideration, and as part of that consideration, an enhanced major mines permitting process was put into place. The member may claim that nobody knows what it is, but that is simply not true. It was transparent, just as any application, should it come forward, will be considered with full opportunity for public
input. Thank you, Minister.
I will simply reiterate, Honourable Speaker, BC Hydro may discuss whatever they want in corporate meetings, and memos may be released from Freedom of Information. That does not mean an application is in our hands.
Leader of the fourth party.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Last month, Tim Thielman, the Conservative candidate for Victoria Beacon Hill, who is a lawyer, drafted a 26-page legal brief on anti-Semitism and anti-Jewish hate, which has occurred during recent demonstrations. Advanced copies have been given to the Victoria Police Chief and to the NDP Attorney General. Thielman's memo documented the ongoing violations of criminal laws by Victoria's anti-Semitic extremists and the legal basis on which other blockades and hate speech have been successfully prosecuted. The letter from the MLA from Coquitlam Marville singles out the NDP Attorney General for failing to reach out to the Jewish community to understand their fear amid rising anti-Semitism in society. So the question is to the Attorney General, will you commit to appointing a special prosecutor to prosecute the crimes of anti-Jewish hate speech and the open incidents of hate occurring at anti-Semitic protests so that the Victoria Police can confidently lay charges?
Attorney General.
I want to thank the member for the question. Making sure that those people that commit hate crimes are held accountable is a very important part of the work that we're doing as a government. And there are steps that we are taking to make sure that happens. Recently, the BC Crown Prosecution Service updated their hate crime policy to specifically make sure that there's a reference to the willful promotion of anti-Semitism as one of the factors to consider when they press charges, because we take this very seriously. I recently wrote a letter to Minister Varani specifically about changes that I'm asking him to make that makes it clear that denial of the Holocaust is a hate crime and should be included in that, and to help us with the criminal code to make sure that we can enable law enforcement to go to courts and address hate crimes more effectively. We have been, I can't talk about specific cases in the House, but we have been pursuing hate crimes in this province and prosecutions, and we'll continue to do that work to make the system better. Thank you.
Leader of the Fourth Party Supplemental.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, the people in British Columbia are not anti-Semitic. They aren't Islamophobic, and they do not condone hate. They deserve, quite frankly, a premier and a government that shares these values, and a premier and a government that protects all Canadians in British Columbia. What we have seen in Victoria from a religious leader is spreading of hate, spreading of things like anybody who is not Muslim should be considered an enemy of Allah, and much worse. In private meeting, the police have indicated that they are very reluctant to bring forward any charges because they feel they are not supported. This is a pattern that we are seeing, unfortunately, in this province. It's a pattern that has been identified clearly in the caucus of this government. And it's a pattern, quite frankly, I think, that the public certainly will be paying attention to come the election of this year. So once again, to the Attorney General, what steps can you take to make sure that the police feel that they will be supported in going after these hateful issues? What steps can you take to make sure that the Jewish community will feel safe and that this government will take these issues seriously and that we'll see this brought to an end?
All questions through the chair, members. Attorney General.
Yeah, I think every single member in this House can agree that we need to all stand together to combat the rise of anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, and all forms of hate in this province. It's something that we as a government are committed to doing, that I am personally committed to doing every day on this job, and that includes a cross-government approach, whether it's working with our Solicitor General and his ministry related to making sure police have the resources and training that they need to step up with enforcing hate crimes, whether it's the work that I talked about just previously about making sure that we have the tools in our criminal justice system to go after that, the update of the BC prosecution hate crime policy. This is an all of government approach, and I want to send a message to every community member out there, every Jewish person in this province that feels scared, that feels the rise of anti-Semitism around them, that we are in your corner. We will do whatever it takes to get rid of hate in this province. They Members. Have my commitment, and they have the commitment of this government.
Members, please, it's a very serious issue. Let's not have a crosstalk. Member for Parksville-Qualicum.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. 12,000 people in Oceanside are on a wait list for a family doctor. The lucky ones, they wait up to 3 years to get connected, but that list is growing longer and longer every day. It's a wait list made up primarily of seniors who have paid into the system their whole lives, and now that they need health care, they can't get it. I regularly meet with people who are trying to get cancer tests but can't because they don't have a doctor. Met with a woman recently who got a phone call from BC Cancer with her results. Said it's serious, but I can't share them with you because you don't have a family doctor. It took weeks for her to get those results to find out that she had breast cancer that had metastasized. And she had gone through this process more than 20 years before, and it's a direct comparison to the system we have today versus the system before. Working together with our local primary care network, the Division of Family Practice and Island Health, we have identified a location for a primary care center in Parksville. We have put together a plan, we have a business plan, but Island Health was recently told by the ministry that there is no capital funding available for new primary care centers in our community. Now, I know the minister will point to the new physician master agreement, LFP, new spaces at SFU, or new medical school, new spaces, and 700 net new doctors. That's fantastic news. But when my division tours new docs in my community, and there is no team-based care for them to work in, these docs do not stay, and the system is getting much worse. My question, Mr. Speaker, is it true that the provincial budget that's projecting a nearly $8 billion deficit has no funding for primary care in the city of Parksville? And is the minister suggesting that residents in my community start bottle drives and bake sales if they want to get primary care?
As the member will know, last year, we, as a direct result of the work we've done with the doctors of BC, everywhere in BC, added net new 708 family doctors in BC. The place where there's the most family doctors is Vancouver Island, the island, in Island Health on Vancouver Island. In fact, Honourable Speaker, the member will know that we saw an increase of 179 doctors on Vancouver Island alone. That's an increase in nine months of 24%. He'll also know that we've established in British Columbia primary care networks to support team-based care, Honourable Speaker, and that there are 1,700 FTEs, meaning full-time jobs in that area, doctors and nurses and nurse practitioners and health sciences professionals and healthcare workers, Honourable Speaker, to build out team-based care. There were none before. There are now 77 in place. There are 1,700 people working in that area. In addition to that, in terms of young doctors, Honourable Speaker, on Vancouver Island, in our new-to-practice contract, 63, Honourable Speaker, new-to-practice nurse practitioners, 68. It's by ensuring that there are more doctors in place and supporting those doctors with primary care networks that come from the community, including from Parksville-Qualicum, that we're addressing these issues that are critical to ensure family practice in British Columbia, Honourable Speaker. And I appreciate, thank you very much for the question.
The bell ends the question period.